You may be seated. I appreciate Daryl leading us in that classic, God's Family. Beside the word family, a keynote of that song is the word together. It's found seven times. Together in sunshine, together in rain, together in victory, through His precious name. Together forever. Sometimes we laugh together. Sometimes we share together. Sometimes we dream together. God's family. Beautiful song. And thanks to Andrew for the good reading from Acts chapter 2, which serves as a springboard for this study. It talks about the early church and those things that were vital to its growth. You might underscore in verse 44 where Luke reports, and all that believed were together. That's what I want to talk to us about today. You might underscore that statement in your Bible. Let those words sink into your mind. All that believed were what? Together. We're glad you're here together with us today. We talk about restoring the first church. Restoring its name, restoring its worship, restoring its work, and rightfully so. I suggest that we need to restore the spirit of togetherness that characterized her. If you'd been a first century Christian, would it have been said of you, all that believed were together? I got to thinking about how much emphasis this book places upon God's people being together. I'd like to call that to your attention today. You might like to jot these down. There are a number of those, and we'll just hit those kind of quickly. The first thing I call to your attention is the fact that we have been planted together. This comes from Romans chapter 6 and in verse 4 beginning. When Paul talked about being buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And then he declared, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Has it occurred to you that all of us have been planted together in the likeness of Christ's death? That goes back to the fact that as he died, we've died to sin. As he was buried, we've been buried with him by baptism into death. And so we've undergone a spiritual planting. We've been planted together. The second thing I observe from the book of Ephesians this time is the fact that we have been quickened together. Notice Ephesians 2 and in verse 5. He said, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. Notice the next word. Together with Christ. The word quicken simply means to be made alive. In sin, we're dead. Oh, we may be alive physically, but we're dead spiritually, in that we're separated from God. But Christ has made it possible for us to be alive spiritually. And he picked up on this same idea when he wrote said, and you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Think about that. You and I have been quickened together with Christ, made alive spiritually, in that all our trespasses have been forgiven. But then from Ephesians 2 and verse 6, the third thing I call to tell you is the fact that we have raised up together. Notice this. And have raised us up together. Have you thought about the fact that you and I have been raised up together? That goes back, no doubt, to those words he penned in Romans 6, 3 through 5 about being risen again. As we have come forth from the water to the baptism, to walk in the newness of life, we've been raised up together. And then in verse 6, he continues when he says, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You might underscore, sit together. Think about these first four things that we've talked about. Do you know where all of these have been made possible? In Jesus Christ. You see, we're part of an elect group of people in Christ. We've been planted together, quickened together, raised up together, and sit together. Where? In Christ. How do we become a part of this unique and special group of people? The Bible answers that in Galatians 3, verse 27, as well as Romans 6, and verse 3, when the Bible says, baptized into Jesus Christ. You see, we have something in common with one another that we don't have in common with anybody else. In Christ, we have some things that we share together, don't we? Picking up from that, notice now in Ephesians 2, verses 21 and 22, where Paul writes about the building, fitting frame together, groweth unto a holy temple of the Lord, in whom ye also are building together for an habitation of God. As you make your study of all that will lead, we're together, and the emphasis this book places upon togetherness. Did you know that we are a building, fitting frame together? Together. All the different parts and pieces make it up. What a beautiful building the church is. It's fitly framed together. As a contractor would put together a building, God is the divine architect, as the church is according to the eternal purpose, which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ephesians 3:10. And Jesus is the master builder. As He said, I'll build my church, Matthew 16 and verse 18. What a privilege it is to be a living stone in the Lord's house, 1 Peter 2, 5 through following. But also when you think about togetherness, drop down to Ephesians 4 and verse 16. When He says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Have you thought about the fact that we are fitly joined together? The church is likened to the physical body. Just go back and read Paul's treaty about that in 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 27. And how that it takes all the parts. The hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you. Every member is necessary. We're joined together, just like your head and body are joined together. Christ and the body go together. They're connected. And as your hand is connected to the arm and your foot to the leg, we're joined together. We need each other. Right? Think about what would happen to your hand if it became disconnected. It can't survive out there on its own. As the blood flows through the body, that's the way it is with the church. And the life is in the blood. It's a vital relationship that the Lord has put together as we are fitly joined together. And that's why as we sang, we talked about in this song, God's Family, that when a brother meets sorrow, we all feel his grief. You see, we're so joined together that when one suffers, all the members suffer with it. And when one is honored, all the members rejoice with it. That's why there are times when we laugh together and sometimes we cry and share together and dream together. Because we are fitly joined together. But also, when I began to search this book to find out about togetherness, I came across the fact that we often assemble together. That was true in the first century. Like in Acts chapter 4 and in verse 31 where the Bible says, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. In the first century, brethren often assembled together. Lots of references to that. They had a place where they assembled and they were found assembled together. Look at Acts 12. in Acts 12 and in verse 12. The Bible says, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were what? Gathered together praying. It's not that they were just found in the temple, like Acts 2 reported, but they were found gathered together in different homes. Here's an occasion where Peter's in prison, and the church was gathered together in the house of Mary praying. Another example, Acts 14 and in verse 27. Look at this reference. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. This is the report that Paul gave of his preaching trip. Wouldn't you have liked to have been there? Paul had been away preaching Christ, and when he returned, gathered the church together and rehearsed all that God had done. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples, what's the rest of that, came together. If you'd been a Christian in Troas, and the Lord's people had come together to break bread, would you have been there? Of course you would have, wouldn't you? In verse 8, there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. You can't get away from that word, can you? The Bible puts a lot of emphasis on that. As you think about assembling together, when Paul wrote the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 4, about the immoral brother in the midst, he said, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, deliver such a one unto Satan. He didn't say, if you're gathered together, if they may or may not come, but when ye come together. And as Acts put a lot of emphasis on that, 1 Corinthians does as well. In 1 Corinthians 11, 17 and 18, Paul said, you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. In verse 18, when you come together in the church. Again, underscore the word when. And then in verse 20, when you come together into one place. Jump down to verse 33. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together. And again, in verse 34, that ye come not together under condemnation. 1 Corinthians 14, and verse 23. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place. And in verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together? When the writer said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You know, the book puts such emphasis on assembling together. And by the way, you might take note of the word assembly. It's not assembly. This service is an example of an assembly. It's the same. Like James 2, when James said, if they come into your assembly, that's just one gathering of the Lord's people. But that's not the word here in Hebrews 10:25. It's assembly. That is continuous activity. That takes in all of the assemblies. Every time we come together, when we come together for Bible study, every day, 10 o'clock, when we come together for worship, like we do now, and again this afternoon, when midweek Bible study comes, Wednesday night, when there are other occasions where we might be gathered together, out of what we live. I'd have the attitude like the psalmist. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. That's a good way to apply that lesson we learned in our Bible classes this morning about seeking first the kingdom of God. One way we can put the church first is by arranging our schedule so as to be at the services when the Lord's people come together. One reason the church grew is because of the fact that all that believe were together. What's my attitude about that? But as you make your study of togetherness, the Bible talks about being comforted together. In Romans chapter 1 and in verse 12, Paul said, that is, I may be comforted together. I wonder what prompted him to say that. Well, back up to verse 11. He said, I long to see you. You might underscore that. Paul had a great attitude toward his brethren. I long to see you. that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. So when Peter began writing, he told those to have obtained like precious faith. We have a mutual faith. No. It comes from a mutual source, the Word. As faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. Is that your disposition? I long to see you. There's comfort that comes by being together. Where would you rather go to try to be comforted than with the Lord's people? And in connection with that, when Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, remember, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, they were concerned about their loved ones who had passed. And Paul said that ye sorrow not as others which have no hope. And talked about the fact that when the Lord comes, those who are alive will be caught up together and meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then in verse 18 he said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And so we're comforted together. As in chapter 5 and verse 11, where he said, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. We edify, that is, we build up each other. It's a comforting thing to be together on an occasion like this, isn't it? With others who have the same thing and have the same hope. Doesn't it ache when you're not able to be together? You know, instead of being comforted, there's sorrow. There's disappointment. There's heartache when we're not together. Taking it a step further, I got to thinking about how the Bible talks about the fact that we're to strive together. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 30, Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. You know any higher sake or more nobler sake than the Lord Jesus Christ's sake? And for the love of the Spirit, what would move and motivate me anymore than to think about the Lord's sake and the love of the Spirit? What was he trying to move and motivate these Romans to do? He said that you strive out together with me in your prayer to God for me. We strive together. That is, we are united. We're not striving against each other. We're not working against somebody else. Think about a team of horses. They're pulling together. They're striving together. They're a yoke of oxen. You wouldn't have one going in another direction. That wouldn't work. You see, we're striving together. And one way we do that is by prayer. When we come together on an occasion like this and we pray together, as we let our supplication be known unto God, Philippians 4 and verse 6. And when Paul wrote the church at Philippi, in Philippians 1 and verse 27, he declared, only let your conversation, that is your manner of life, be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving out together for the faith of the gospel. So we strive together. Another aspect of our togetherness is the fact that we're joined together. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Remember, Paul writes a divided church. They had different mindsets. Some said, I'm a Paul, and others, I'm Cephas, and I'm Apollos, and some said, I'm Christ. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:10, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that y'all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be what? Perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. You see this spirit of togetherness? Be perfectly joined together. This is a plea for unity. Remember the psalmist sang about it, Psalm 133, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And Jesus prayed about it in John 17, 20 and 21, that they all may be one. And here Paul pleads for it. And it requires speaking the same thing. He doesn't want Michael back there in the back saying something, and then me up here saying something different than what he's saying. we all speak the same thing. And that's true of all of us in between. And the extent to which we are to be perfectly joined together is that we have the same mind and the same judgment. Think that's possible? Evidently it is, or he wouldn't have said what he did. And I suggest that it is possible when we all have the mind of Christ. Philippians 2:5, when Paul said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." When you have that mind and I possess that mind, we can be of the same mind. Perfect. Joined together. What a beautiful picture. And then from 1 Corinthians 3 in verse 9, we're laborers together. Paul talked about the fact that he planted, Apollos watered. And it was God that gave the increase. So neither is he that planteth anything, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And then in verse 9 he said, we are laborers together, aren't we? Think about that. We work together, don't we? You may plant, I may water. I may plant, you may water. But we're working together. We're laborers together, aren't we? That's important. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, "Fast up, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Thus he said in 2 Corinthians 3:8, "Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." But yet we labor together. And that's why in 2 Corinthians 6:1, he said, "We then as workers together with him beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain." You know you can receive God's grace in vain. You don't want to do that because we're saved by grace. Now, if it be true that you can't fall from grace so as to be eternally lost, then this wouldn't be in the Bible. The statement wouldn't be here. You see, if it were true that you can't fall from grace, then it wouldn't be possible to receive it in vain. But the fact that you can receive it in vain tells me that you can fall from grace. The way you keep from allowing that to happen is by being a worker. So put your hand to the plow and don't look back. But as you think about togetherness, the Bible doesn't stop there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 24, the Bible talks about the fact that we're tempered together. He said, "For our comely parts have no need, but God hath what? Tempered the body together." That's 1 Corinthians 12, 24. "Having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked." Tempered together. You might think about tempered steel. Strong, isn't it? The body is strong as we're tempered together. Or you might think of it in terms of being blended together like an artist blends together a multitude of colors. And what a beautiful portrait it may be. We're blended together. We come from all different backgrounds. But yet, what a beautiful thing you see when you have all that believed together. From 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 11, there's another aspect of this togetherness. And that is when we help together. He said, "Ye also helping together." How'd they do that, Paul? By prayer for us. "That for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf." One way you can help gospel preachers today, the way they did it, is by prayer for us. We help them. But in addition to that, we are followers together. I take us this time to Philippians 3 and verse 17. When Paul said, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for ensample." That word ensample suggests a pattern to be followed. It's a copy. We're to copy that. They're worthy of our imitation. Followers together. Who's Paul? Paul set a good example, didn't he? He said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And so all of us are doing that. We're following that example. We're followers together. We're walking in the same steps, aren't we? Here's a beauty. Turn over to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2:2. when Paul said that their hearts might be comforted being knit together. Not only are we followers together, as well as these other together things, we're knit together. You do any knitting? Know somebody who has. You think of a sweater, maybe. It's been knit. You want something that is loosely knit or tightly knit, tightly woven? What is it that causes us to be knit together and makes that bond tight? It's love. Look at that. Look at verse 2. Being knit together in love. It's a textile term. Knit. And he uses that to urge us to have the proper relationship. When you drop down to verse 19, he said, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increases with the increase of God. You see a connection between being knit together and increase? You wonder why some churches don't increase but decrease? Maybe it's because they're not knit together. Maybe because these words don't describe them. All that will lead were together. Maybe they don't have the kind of love that they ought to have. Blessed be the tie that binds. What is that tie? Love. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, Peter said, 1 Peter 1. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you. What is that new commandment? That ye love one another. How you want us to do that, Lord? As I have loved you. How the Lord love us? So much that he gave himself to us. If you're willing to give your life, if I'm willing to lay down my life for you, there's not anything I wouldn't do for you. And what a great blessing to be a part of a group of people who all have that attitude. Get together. In love. No wonder Paul called love the bond of perfectness. Colossians 3 and verse 14. I want you to think about something else. That is the fact that one of these days, if the Lord will, we're going to be caught up together. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when Paul wrote about the resurrection, you see, not everybody is going to be gone when this world comes to an end. You know, some people think we're going to sell ourselves. We're going to blow up ourselves. No, that's not true. So there are going to be folks alive when the Lord comes. As Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. See, we talk about that. That's those who have died. But our loved ones who have passed in Christ, when the Lord comes, they're going to be raised. And those of us who are alive, we're going to be caught up together with them. And then he said, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Isn't that a comforting thought? To know that when the Lord comes, if you're still alive, that your ancestors who died in Christ, they're going to be raised and we're going to be caught up together. Think about that. To be caught up together. Let me ask you, are you going to be among those that are caught up together? That hinges on this right here. This could be said of us, all that believe. We're together. And then there's another thing we can look forward to, and that is being glorified together. Look at Romans 8 and verse 17. When Paul said, if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ. It is so good that we suffer with him that we may be also glorified together. We are heirs. We have an inheritance in store, that whatever is in store for him, the Lord is in store for us. We're joined here with Christ. We'll be glorified together. In 2 Thessalonians 1, Paul talked about that same idea. When he talked about in 2 Thessalonians 1 and in verse 5, the manifest hope of the righteous presence of God, that he may be counted worthy of the kingdom for which he suffered. And in verse 7, to you who are troubled, rest with us. the Lord Jesus shall come. And he's going to come to punish. It'll be a day of vengeance. It'll be a day of great tragedy for those that know not God and obey not the gospel. Then in verse 10 he said, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe. That'd be a great day of triumph. Which will it be for you? A day of triumph? A day when we're glorified together? Or a day of great tragedy to be punished? And then finally, number 18. 18 different things about our togetherness. We'll live together. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 10. When Paul talked about our Lord Jesus Christ who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, that is whether we live or die, we should live together with him. Beautiful, isn't it? Together. I like that statement in Acts 2:44. How that it was said of the first century Christians. You know, the Bible puts so much emphasis on togetherness. To be planted together, quickened together, raised up together, to sit together, a building fitly framed together, fitly joined together, we assemble together, we're comforted together, we strive together, we're joined together, we're laborers together, we're tempered together, we help together, we're followers together, we're knit together. All these days we'll be caught up together, be glorified together, to live together. Been born again. Part of the family whose love knows no end. For Jesus has saved us and made us his own. Now we're part of the family that's on its way home. When a brother meets sorrow, we all feel his grief. When he's passed through the valley, we all feel his grief. Together in sunshine, together, together in victory. Though some go before us, we'll all meet again. Just inside the city as we enter in, there'll be no more parting, but Jesus will be together forever, God's family. And sometimes we laugh together, sometimes we cry, sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it'll be. We all get to heaven, God's family. God's family is a family that's together. What's your attitude about that? Think about that in reference to the amount of time maybe you spend with people out in the world. You might like to try to counter that by planning occasions whereby you can be together with the Lord's people. You might think about that with reference to your young people. How much time they spend in the world. And to counter that, you might like to plan occasions and times for them to be together with others of like precious faith. Take advantage of opportunities to be together. One way we can do that is not only by assembling, as we've talked about, but being given to hospitality. Romans 12:13. And using hospitality one to another. 1 Peter 4:9. To plan and provide opportunities for God's people to be together. There may be those in this audience who are not a part of God's family. You can be. Think about it. The greatest family this world has ever known. To have God as your spiritual father. Who loves you so much, he gave his only begotten son to die for you. Provided all spiritual blessings in heavenly places for you in Christ. And you become a part of that family by being born again. Which involves hearing the word of the Lord, believing it with all of your heart, repenting of your past sins, confessing your faith. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. And as you're baptized in Christ, we're together enjoying all these blessings and these benefits. And look forward to the day when the Lord comes, we can be caught up together, to be glorified together, live together throughout all eternity. Maybe you've already obeyed the gospel. You've become a member of the body of Christ. But not been what it ought to be spiritually. You're sending your life, separating from the Lord. You've not stayed in the Lord. You've left it. You've left your first love. You need to return to the shepherd and bishop of your soul. And may these words that were said of the first century disciples characterize all of us today. All that believe. We're together. If we can assist you in making your life right with the Lord, won't you come now while we stand and sing the song?